All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I come before you. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you've revealed yourself in stories that all of us, even the very youngest, can learn from. And I pray, Father, Lord, that we would all learn how to follow you from the story we find in your word tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. In the beginning, God created everything that is. And when God had finished making the sun and the stars and the birds and the fish and the boys and the girls, God saw that it was all very good. There was nothing sad and there was nothing that was broken. Everything was exactly the way that it was supposed to be. Adam and Eve were representing God, serving as little living pictures of his rule over creation. They were serving him by taking care of the garden that he had placed them in. What was the garden's name? What do we call that garden? The Garden of Eden. They were honoring him by obeying the one rule that he had given them. Adam knew that he was a boy and he was happy about it. And Eve knew that she was a girl and she was happy about it as well. Adam and Eve were happy together. They never fought or argued and they always got along. Everything was very good, just the way that God had made it, just the way that things were supposed to be. Sadly, things didn't stay very good for very long. Eve and Adam decided that it wasn't enough to represent God. They wanted to be gods. Do you think that was a good idea?
No.
That was not a good idea. They didn't want God telling them what to do anymore. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to decide for themselves what was right and what was wrong. Have any of you ever tried to decide for yourselves what was right and what was wrong?
Yeah, that didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, it didn't turn out so well for me either. Has there been anyone who decided for themselves what was right or wrong that it did turn out well for? I'm not seeing anybody raise your hands, but we keep thinking that this is going to turn out better the next time, but it never does. Olivia. They wanted to be... What? I didn't see her raise her hand, actually. You did? It worked out well for you?
No, it didn't work out well.
Okay. And all of us should raise our hand that we've all tried that, but it hasn't worked out well for any of us. They wanted to decide for themselves what was right and what was wrong, and when Adam and Eve decided to do their own thing, they messed up the very good world that God had made. They became sinners, and sinners couldn't stay in God's good garden. They had to leave. After they left the garden, things quickly got worse for our first parents. Adam and Eve had two sons. The older one was named Cain, and the younger one was named Abel. And when life didn't seem fair to Cain, he got very, very angry. Rather than repenting of his own sins, he decided to blame his brother Abel for the problems that he was facing. And he got so angry and so jealous. What did he do? This is what we learned about the last time we had generations. Noah?
He killed his brother
Abel.
That was mean.
That was not good at all, was it? After Cain murdered Abel, things went from bad to worse to even worse than that. Even though Adam and Eve had another son, Seth, pretty soon the children of Seth were acting just like the children of Cain. People sinned all day, every day. And the Bible says that things got so bad that eventually people didn't do anything but sin. Everything they did, everything they said, everything they thought was evil all the time, non-stop. Now, the world that we live in today can be pretty scary, can it? There are bad people in the world who do bad things. Have you ever been scared when you think about the bad people that are out there in the world?
Oh boy, there's
all the adults should raise their hands. I've been really scared sometimes when I think about all the bad things there are in the world.
Yeah, I can tell you a bunch of people. Yeah, oh, are bad.
Yep, yeah, that's
but I'm not going to because I know I've done some bad things too.
Yep. This world was way worse, though. Worse than we can even imagine. It wasn't just that people did bad things some of the time. It was that they never did anything good at all. Can you imagine that? That was awful. Things just kept getting worse and worse and worse for the children of Adam and Eve. And the world got more and more messed up. And it's against this dark and awful background that we find the beautiful story of Noah and the Great Flood. Now, the story of Noah is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Is it anybody else's favorite story?
Bridget.
A few of you? Is it your favorite story, Doug?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's neat. We have something in common. We can bond over that. We could build a bridge of friendship and well, we could try.
Yeah, we could try. I mean, you like surfing, too?
What?
You like surfing, too?
Not so much. Why are we talking about surfing?
Well, there's a lot of water. Why not hit the beach?
Yeah, but all the people who were out of the big boat died, though.
Oh.
That sounds kind of scary.
That's a bad way to hit the beach.
Yeah. Now, back to our story now, Doug.
Yeah.
In Noah's day, the world had become so dirty and so wicked that God decided he just had to give it a bath. In Genesis chapter 1.
What? Don't look at me.
In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God began the work of creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he began to order the heavens and the earth to make the very good world that he gave to Adam and Eve. You know the very first thing? Pay attention. You know the very first thing that God did? He separated the waters which were above the earth from the waters which were under the earth. And you know what God did in the flood? He brought those waters back together again.
Oh.
Because God had established a creational order of how people were supposed to behave. And when people said, we're going to do things our own way, we're going to rebel against the Creator, then God took that creation away from them. And God does the same thing in our world. When people set themselves against God's creational order, he starts to undo creation. And that's something that we're going to see all throughout the Bible. You have this pattern of God creates something and mankind rebels against it. So God decreates it and starts over and fixes things in the new creation. Sometimes in our world, we can feel pretty outnumbered. How many of you ever felt outnumbered? If you're a follower of Jesus and you think of all the scary people out there, have you ever felt kind of outnumbered and a little bit overwhelmed?
Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How many of you adults have ever felt that way? How many of you kids have ever felt that way? I felt that way. I feel that way all the time, as it turns out. But you know what? Even in our own church, even here tonight, there are many families that are trying to follow Jesus. And there are thousands of faithful churches all over the world. There's even lots of faithful churches right here on the Kitsap Peninsula. But in Noah's time, he and his family were the only ones in the entire world who followed God. We can't even imagine being that overwhelmed.
That's lonely.
That's pretty lonely. But you know what? Even though Noah and his family were the only ones who were following God, the Bible tells us that Noah found grace, God's unmerited favor, in the eyes of the Lord. What is grace? Anybody want to say grace? What is grace?
Oh, it's something amazing.
Yeah, but it's God's unmerited favor. Can y'all say that with me? God's unmerited favor. It means God was being good to Noah, even though Noah had done nothing to deserve it.
I thought he was good.
Well, though Noah was a sinner, like us, mm-hmm. Noah trusted in God. Uh-huh. So God should have punished Noah just like all the other sinners, but God chose to show mercy and grace to Noah so that Noah would trust God. He obeyed God, and he taught his children to obey God. And God came to Noah
and he warned him of the judgment that was coming.
And after he was done judging the world, God told him that he was going to give the world a fresh start after he was done giving it a bath. And he was going to use Noah and his family to do it. Noah was going to be like a new kind of Adam. He was going to be a fresh start for the world. Now for Noah and his family, obeying God meant a lot of work. How many of you have ever tried to do what's right and found that it involved a lot of work? Like when your parents tell you to clean up your room and you realize just how much of a mess you had left it, and you're like, this is going to take forever to clean up all the mess that has been left. But no matter how much work you've had to do trying to obey God, you have never had a job as big as the job that God gave to Noah. Because God told Noah to build a giant bark ark called a giant boat called an ark. That's where the B came from in bark there. A giant boat called an ark. And this ark was huge. It was 450 feet long, longer than a football field, and it was 75 feet wide, and it was 45 feet tall, and it had to be big enough to contain every kind of animal in the whole world, along with Noah and his family. But let's just think about what went into building a boat this big. If any of your daddies go to cut down a tree, what do they use?
Axe.
An axe, maybe?
Chainsaw.
You could cut down a tree in an axe, but let me tell you, it's going to take a long time. If you want to cut down some trees, you need a chainsaw, maybe a steel chainsaw or whatever a brand that you all prefer. Do you think Noah and his sons had chainsaws?
Nope.
No, they didn't.
They didn't know how to use one.
No, they probably had axes, but they had to cut down hundreds and hundreds and thousands of trees by hand. And you know what? If you want to make lumber, you know what you need? You need a sawmill. Do you think Noah and his sons had a sawmill?
No.
No, they had to saw all of those trees into boards by hand, and then they had to carve them into the right shape by hand, and then they had to put them together
by hand.
By hand.
Ooh.
And then they had to pitch the outside of the ark with nasty smelly stuff, and they had to pitch the inside of the ark with nasty smelly stuff, and then they had to gather animals from all over the world, and then they had to feed all those animals. Now, we just have at our house, we have a dog and a cat and some chickens, and it's enough work just to take care of those animals. Can you imagine taking care of the biggest zoo ever and all you had is just you and your family?
Nasty and smelly.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. In fact, it was so much work that it took Noah more than 100 years to build the ark and get all the animals together. That's a big job. And you know what? The whole time they were doing it, Noah kept telling all the people around him, there's a flood coming, you guys need to stop the bad things you're doing, and you need to trust in God, and you need to come into the ark with me. And nobody listened to him for more than 100 years. He kept preaching, and nobody was listening. But the whole time, they just kept working, and working, and working, and working.
Until the flood
came. The people who didn't obey. So after faithfully working on the ark for more than 100 years, God came to Noah and told him that the time had come to enter into the ark. With all the animals, two by two, every kind of animal on earth went into the ark. What are some of the animals that went into the ark?
Elephants.
Elephants?
Giraffes?
What? What?
Pandas?
Probably a kind of bear or something. Yeah, pandas or... cats? Lots of kind of animals, right? Pigs, yes.
Oh, lemurs.
Lincoln.
Tigers.
Maybe tigers? Whoa, lots of scary animals. Okay, hey. Lots of animals went in the ark, and now we've got to talk about what happened next. All right, you ready? When all the animals and all the food was loaded up, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives all went into the ark along with them. And then God shut the door. And for 7 days, nothing happened. And then water started to come up out of the ground. And pretty soon water was covering everything. And then water started to come down out of the sky. And pretty soon the water was rising above everything. It covered the grass. It covered the roads. It covered the wicked cities. In fact, it covered everybody and everything that wasn't in the... It's not time for questions yet. Everything that wasn't in the ark, just like it did before God started the work of creation. When the flood had come, there was just water and there was the ark. And because mankind had rejected God's creational order, God judged them by undoing that order. Inch by inch, the ark started to float upon the top of the waters. Now, how many of you have ever been in a boat? Lots of you have been in a boat?
Yep.
Now, you've been in a boat?
Yeah.
When were you in a boat, Doug?
The Bremerton Ferry, Doug.
Pretty cool. I've been on the Bremerton Ferry. Now, the other day, y'all been in boats, and that's really cool. So the other day, Petey and I went fishing on the lake with Brother TJ in a boat. And even though the boat we were in was tiny, it's tiny enough to fit on Brother TJ's car. But the boat we were in, it had a motor. And you know what you could do with that motor? You could steer the boat. You couldn't go really fast. But you could steer the boat. So you could go forwards, and you could go sideways, and you could go backwards. And so we steered out from the dock all the way across the lake to the part where we were going to fish. And when we were done, we could go back to the dock because Brother TJ could control where the boat was going. The ark that God told Noah to build... See, this is one of the most crazy things about the ark. And I didn't realize this till I started studying it back when we were doing the series on Genesis. So the ark didn't have any steering wheel. And the ark was simply a big wooden box that floated on top of the water. There was no way to steer the ark. There was no way to make the ark go forward. There was no way to make the ark go backward. And Noah didn't even have a map to tell him where the ark was. When God shut the door to the ark, the only thing that Noah and his family could do is trust God. When Noah went into the ark, he had to trust in the ark, and he didn't have any other plans or any other hope. Noah had to trust God completely. In order to be delivered from the flood, Noah had to completely give up on trying to control his future and trusting God alone as his only hope as he floated upon the waters. And God didn't tell Noah the whole plan. He told him to go into the ark. He told him he was going to save him from the flood, but he didn't tell him how long he was going to be in the ark. There were so many things that Noah did not know. He had to place all his faith in God's plan, even though he didn't know very much about what that plan would look like. Now, the next time we have generations, we'll learn about how God delivered Noah and his family and all the animals out of the ark, how he gave the world a new start after the flood. But as we finish our story time tonight, I want us to think about some of the wonderful things that we can learn from the story of Noah. Now, the world that we live in might not be quite as bad as the world that Noah lived in, but it's still pretty bad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you don't understand everything that's going on, even as kids, you know there are a lot of wicked people in our world, and a lot of them don't love God very much at all. And sometimes it can seem like the wicked people are going to get away with their sin and rebellion forever. But you need to know that God has promised to deal with sin. No one is going to get away with anything. And if you rebel against God, you're not going to get away with it either. Now, that's actually pretty bad news because the Bible teaches us that all of us are sinners. Mm-hmm. Every one of us in our own way. How many of you have told a lie, even a little one?
Yeah.
Don't tell a lie by not raising your hand, Doug. How many of you have disobeyed your parents? How many of you have taken something that didn't belong to you? At least once. How many of you have looked at a toy, maybe a dolly or a Lego set or a retirement account or a sports car that belonged to somebody else? and wished it was yours instead. All of these things are sins, not only against other people, but also against God. And when God deals with sin, when he deals with all the bad people out there, he's going to have to deal with all the bad people in here too, because all of us are sinners. And that's the bad news. But the bad news isn't the whole story, because just as there was good news for Noah, so there's good news for us. Just as God showed grace to Noah, so also has God shown grace to us. In order to deliver Noah from the flood of judgment, God told him to enter into a wooden boat. And in order to deliver us from the judgment that is coming against sinners in our own day, God sent his son Jesus to hang on what? Anyone know what Jesus hung on? What was the cross made out of?
Wood.
It was made out of wood, just like Noah's boat.
Ark.
Ark. Just like the ark was Noah's only hope, so also Jesus is our only hope. Just like with Noah, if we want to be saved by Jesus, we have to give up on trying to control our own lives. We have to let him take us where he wants us to go. We have to trust him completely, even though we don't know all that he is going to ask us to do. And just as in the days of Noah, most people aren't going to believe us. They may even make fun of us or try to make our lives difficult, but instead of being angry at them, we need to be sad for them. Because even though the wicked may look mighty and powerful and important, we know that they are not going to get away with their sin. Just like Noah knew that the flood of water was coming, we know that the judgment of God is coming. And even though not everyone will believe us, we need to warn people of the judgment and keep pointing them to the cross and keep hoping in the cross, because it's the only way of escape for us and it's the only way of escape for them.
That was a good story, Pastor Peter. See you next week.
Thank you, Doug. See you later.
Bye.